What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
Wow, what episode we have for everyone today. Do you want to tell the peeps about it? The peeps. God,
yes.
I'm so lame.
Okay, I'm going to tell those little tiny yellow marshmallow candies about the show.
Thank you.
We have a great guest. They're a writer, performer, comedian, performer, actor. I mean, look, they're acting. They've acted with David Bowie, you know, just a wonderful...
They were in a movie with David Bowie.
Yes, they're a wonderful person. Greatest laugh ever. We are joined by Maggie May.
Woo! Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
Wow. Another day. Another recording. It's all blurring together.
Another day. Another recording. Podcasting is a way of life now.
Most of the conversations I have are now podcasts, which is just me not having a lot of conversations, to be honest. It's not about how much podcasting I do. But yeah, I'm excited that we have another guest on today so we don't have to like ramble to each other by ourselves.
Yes. That is the most ideal situation because we've run out of things to say. So we should probably bring our guest in because I've run out of things to say, like I just said. See, I've run out of so many things to say. I'm just saying the fact that I've run out of things to say.
Twice
because
now.
I have, in fact, run out of things to say. Okay, I'll stop this bit. Okay. Okay, we have a great guest. We've actually tried to get this guest for a while now, and finally our schedules have aligned in that magical way. We are joined by a comedian, a writer, a performer, hilarious person, person with a great laugh, which is getting the Daily Zeitgeist Twitter is blowing up about this person's laugh. I gotta
hear this laugh.
Okay, well,
no
we are joined by the wonderful Maggie May.
Yay! That's
Hello.
Me.
Hey,
thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad it finally
of
worked
course.
Out. The stars have aligned, like in Hercules or whatever. Or just like the real life. How are you today? How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Today was a nice... I thought I would have to do more things, and turns out I don't. So
amazing. Perfect.
Much more relaxed day than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, awesome.
It was already going to be okay, but now I'm like, oh, wow, it's going to be that chill. Okay, cool.
Canceled plans are the best plans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's the best.
Well, actually, when someone cancels on me, oh my God,
there's
I'm
nothing
coasting.
Sweeter. Yeah, nothing sweeter.
I'm never mad at a canceled plan. No. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wait, you wanted me to keep sitting here and doing what I was doing?
Which was nothing. Yeah, thanks.
Can do. I can do that. All day, probably.
Yeah. I'm glad we're all on the same page. We would rather loaf around than do anything at all.
Happy Taurus season.
Oh, yeah. Happy Taurus season. What are you? When's your birthday?
I'm a Taurus. That's a Taurus thing, is to just want to lay around.
When's your birthday?
May 8th.
Oh my gosh, it's like 10 days away.
It's coming up.
I don't know.
It's coming up.
But that's exciting.
I don't know how many days away it is, but like my boyfriend this morning was like, just to let you know, your birthday is in like 10 days. So just think about what you want to do. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet that you... Like, I never know what day it is. And so it's like, well, I'll be damned. It is my birthday coming up.
Yeah. I try to avoid birthdays as much as possible, so I understand.
Yeah.
Becca asks, is your boyfriend a Virgo?
No, he's a Sagittarius.
That was a really long pause.
I forgot. I forget because I low-key don't believe in...
I'm kidding. I know. You know? I know. I don't even know. Sagittarius is one of those signs that actually, for whatever reason, I forget what month. Like, that's one of the enigma signs to me. I don't know a lot about it. I don't know what date it is. It's like, I don't know.
I feel like Taurus is like that too, because nobody ever guesses that I'm a Taurus. Oh. Like, they go through every other sign and then they're like, then what? What's left? And I'm like, the 12th one. Like, you named like Virgo twice.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know anything about anything. I will say, I am also born in May, but I'm a Taurus Gemini cusp, which means I'm like both.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
I'm a little bit of both because I've looked it up and I'm like, well, I kind of sound like both of these.
Didn't we have an episode once where like you said you were one thing and then we discovered during the show that you were like...
No. I discovered I was another thing at 17.
Oh, at 17. Sorry. I thought that was exclusive podcast.
Nope. Okay. Nope. Nothing is exclusive in my life.
I just think that all of them have enough qualities that can hit you on any day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know? So
we're all everything, you know?
It feels like a kind of a waste of time to learn this kind of thing. Because it's like, which one is me when I'm hungry?
Yeah.
And then which is me when I've had a nice night of sleep?
Yes.
Like, what's my healthiest version of myself?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Wow. I feel like I don't have a healthiest version of myself now that you've said that. Because you said have a nice night of sleep. But even when I have a nice night of sleep, God, I can be a real monster. Mm-hmm. Everything makes me a monster. So, okay, let's, on that
Welcome
note.
Welcome to the show. Yeah.
I'm a monster.
Sometimes you need to be one, though, I feel.
Let me tell you. That's the only way to survive these days in this world, where we're like.
That's kinda... a good laugh. That's a good laugh.
Oh, thank you.
Listen for the laugh. Daily Zeitgeist listeners have agreed. 400 out of 400 Daily Zeitgeist listeners have agreed. Maggie has a great laugh.
Oh yeah, I like.
I wish
there might be more listeners. I don't know.
A good laugh is something so special because it's not something you can really control, like not really, you know. And so if it's good, it's like infectious and great. I'm very self-conscious about my laugh. I do not like it. I will not laugh for the remainder of this time because I don't want
what
I just don't like my laugh. I've never liked it. But
I can't remember your laugh for the life of
good.
me, but it never felt offensive.
But I think having a good laugh is like a chef's kiss of things to have, so I bow to you.
I wouldn't want to be one of those people who has a bad laugh that like scares people or.
Yeah. You know. But I guess what's a bad laugh? You know, like.
Like, have you heard Seth Rogen's laugh? Have you heard Seth Rogen laugh? Not to be.
No, I don't engage
material. That sounds mean. I don't want to be mean.
I don't think it's possible to be mean to Joe Rogan. Who did you say? Oh, Seth Rogen. Oh yeah, he has
bad laughs, but like him and Dave Franco have interesting laughs. They're not laughs that make you laugh like because it's They're just interesting. They're not bad. Nothing is a bad laugh. No one has a bad laugh. It's just interesting.
Oh, I said it hurts you in your heart. You know, like a yeah. mean laugh that it's just like, I know you're laughing at the very essence of myself, yeah. you Regina George.
Yeah.
Mean laugh is bad. But I honestly like very few laughs am I like, you know, like, I don't know. Laughs don't hit me in that way. I'm just happy someone's laughing, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's nice. I feel like a bitch now. Okay, well,
Never wanna.
let's forget all this happened. Let's cut this all out. Okay, Maggie, welcome to the show. I'm kidding.
I will say, I can't remember exactly how Maggie and I met, like the exact day, the exact second we met, but I know we met through you doing stand-up and me producing shows, but I cannot tell you anything further than that.
I can't either. No,
we just know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one of those things.
That's how it is. I don't know how I've met anybody unless it was like a real, unless we like trauma bond met each other. Like if we fell down a cliff together. Yeah. I'm going to remember that.
There's not a lot of it's either like definitely a trauma bond or like the occasional meet cute, which is like 1% of the things you know what I mean? So everything else in between, I'm just like, you just started to exist in my head. I have no idea.
At a show or at a festival or something.
Yeah. I will say, I'll never forget the time during an Underbelly show that you had your dad do stand-up for you.
Yes!
Which was so funny.
What a good sport. That was my favorite. My dad, I remember like when I was like just getting my dad would talk to me about how like he was always interested in doing stand-up and like he's a doctor, so... Oh, wow. You know, when he was, you know, in residency or whatever, he'd like always want to go, but like he would get out like too late for the open mic. He's like, and I always miss it. He's like, I got out one time early and I went and I like just missed it. Oh. He was like, I always wanted to go. So I hosted an open mic in Austin and I made him do that open mic when he was in town. So he'd like done stand up once before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he happened to be in town. And for Underbelly, they were like, you can do anything but stand up. And I was just like, how about this? Like, how about you do stand up? You've done it once before. You like, and he's adorable. Like, he'll practice his little routine. He has a little video camera. And I was looking through it one day and he was like, saying his set into the video camera so he could watch it later. Because, you know, where I live, there's not like, you know, my dad's not going to go to open mic and there aren't those where I live. So, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was really adorable that he was like, you know, putting in the work that he could put in, you know, so.
He was running his set.
He loved it. He had so much fun doing the show.
That's so nice to hear.
It was so good.
So
I loved
cute.
It.
Yeah, that
and
was
he's
great.
So charming and cute that it just, I mean, he's not going to have a bad set because he's funny and he's cute and he's charming and he sounds good. So
I love your dad already.
It's a recipe for good. Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
Well, also your mom was there too.
Oh, she was?
That was fun.
Yes. Yeah. I heckled him. I heckled him.
Family. Oh, God, I love it. I love it.
We came up with little things to do. I was like, I'm going to heckle you. And then you can say this. And he's like, no, I'm going to come up with a different thing. And he had so many different little sides that he did. It was adorable.
I love
that. That was a really great time.
Well, okay. Where did you grow up? Like, where are you guys from?
South Texas is where I grew up. Yeah. And my parents from Nigeria, but we grew up in South Texas.
They immigrated?
Yeah, you know, my siblings. Yes.
Wow. What, did they know each other? Were they together and then they immigrated together? Or did they meet in the States?
Yeah, they immigrated together.
Wow. What a journey. Well, do you know why?
I mean, that's also the best part is that you got your, like, immigrant father.
Yeah, exactly.
Who worked his whole life to become a doctor in this country. To do stand-up on a show. Sorry, that's just awesome.
I mean, it's so cute, though. Like, you...
As also a child of immigrants, it's, you know, getting your parents to, like, engage like that is fun.
It's also, like... Yeah. Usually... when you're like immigrating here and you're trying to work, you don't even have the luxury of like doing the things you really want to do. Like even though he was in residency for medicine, part of him really wanted to be on stage and make people laugh. And it's like, to have to be able to do that at, finally, or like at, in any degree, is like really nice, because like that maybe wasn't something he was able to do because of like financial reasons or life or anything, you know?
It just, I mean, I think that med school is kind of a, if you're going to be in med school, you're in med school. Like, there's no, like, I have a side job and I'm in med school, or I'm, like, pursuing an additional career and I'm in med. Like, just anyone I know who's gone through it, it just seems really time-consuming and taxing, and, like, like, you just, you kind of have to concentrate on it for a while. So I thought it was really cute that, like, that was something that was, like, still of interest to him, even though, like, that's not something that, like, was in his immediate focus.
How did you get interested in comedy? And, like, when did that happen?
Like, I always was interested. Like, when I was a kid, I thought, you know, God, I'm going to grow up and be Whoopi Goldberg one day. Like, that's hopefully the trajectory of my life. And it just, like, performing has always been something that, like, I wanted to do and thought that I was going to do forever.
Did your dad encourage your love of comedy when you, like, he realized you were into it? Or, like, what was that like?
I feel like not a whole bunch of Nigerian parents really encourage their children to, like, I don't want to say the arts, but, like,
yeah, no, you can say the
kind
arts.
Kind of frivolous type. It's more of a thing of, like, I was smart from a really young age, like, really smart. And so my parents were just kind of like, you have this thing that other people don't have. Like, some people can't do certain things because they just don't have the smarts. And you have the smarts. And you're just going to go, like, do this thing that is subjective. You can be as good as you want to be and just, you know, one gatekeeper decides they don't want you, or one person decides, you know, just doesn't see it. Like, the disconnect between, like, you can do this and be completely set, and you're out here chasing this one thing that's very subjective, and you can do everything right and still not get, they were just like, you have an opportunity. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's with a lot of immigrant parents who just are like, I came here. You need to be able to support yourself. I mean, I also feel like so much of it is based off, like, fear that we will die in the streets.
Or, like, just
that too.
Concept of, like, the poets, like, Iranian poets were all just drunks who lived on the streets. And yes, they're notorious now, but look at them. They died in the streets. What is that what you want? You want to be famous in 100 years? And you're like, oh.
Yeah, my dad would for sure do that. He'd be like, Michael J. Fox lived in his car for a while. Like, and that's Michael J. Like,
yeah,
that happens to everyone. And it's just like, I'm not going to live in my car.
I'll be okay.
So when you were growing up, you said you were smart. Was there ever a time when, like, there was an academic, like, idea for yourself in your head? Or was it always just like, I'm committed to doing this thing that is more challenging for me? Or not, you know what I mean, is less conforming.
See, growing up, because I didn't grow up in, like, an entertainment epicenter. I didn't grow up around, like, any kind of, there was no way for me to know how this industry worked other than, you know, what I heard and my own speculations. So from my own point of view, I thought, and, you know, when you're young, you think, you know, more highly of, like, what you're going to be able to do. So I just figured, well, if I wanted to, I could be a business lady, and I could be a pilot or whatever else I wanted to be. And I could be an actress, and I could be that. So, like, when I was, you know, younger, people would be like, well, what do you want to do? And I'd just rattle off a list of things. And people would be like, unless you're a Barbie, you can't have all those jobs. Like, that's just not it. Like, logistically, like, you can't do all of those things at the same time. And I'd just be like, yes, I can. And I think last year I realized. I was like, wait a minute. That was good advice people were giving me that I just did not listen to.
I mean, but I don't know. I kind of get sad for my, because I was, me and my sister were like that too. I really had this, like, not a bucket list, but, like, when I was younger, I was like, I definitely know I want to do these things. I want to go to space. Mm-hmm. I want to see the, like, Aurora Borealis or whatever it was. Or, like, all these things. But, like, you think that, like, going to space is, like, feasible. Or, like, my sister wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to do all these things that are just, like... Like, I remember thinking, like, I'm just going to graduate and write for The Daily Show. You know what I mean? Like, all these things are just, like...
Right.
Because I also didn't grow up in, like, entertainment world at all. So, like, it's just... I don't know. Your imagination.
You think you're going to fill out an application. You're going to walk into, like, The Daily Show or whatever and fill out an application. And then maybe that, like, that's just the kind of thing you think.
Yeah. When,
like, you don't got... I was just like, of course that'll happen. Like, and I love that you said space because I remember, like, an astronaut coming to our school and me thinking, like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess I could go to space 1 year. I could be an astronaut 1 year, like, for a brief amount of time. Like, that's, like, possible. Like, I could just go and, like, minor in some shit and then, like, try out to be an astronaut or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was in high school thinking this. I was like, oh, sure. Like, I could just be an astronaut and quit. Like, it's a job you can fucking quit. Like, there is no... There's nowhere you can go from astronaut. There are no other, like, skills that, like, you can be an astronaut or you can go get a job like the rest of us. But, like, there's no, like, you know, astronaut two or, like, any other astronaut.
Now that we're on astronauts, question. Do you only go up to space once or do you go multiple times?
You can go multiple
and then
times.
Get, like, a desk job?
You know, I heard that there are astronauts who don't go to space. You're just an astronaut that, like, files shit.
Well, not everyone gets a chance to go to space. It's, like, a very rigorous threshold to cross or whatever.
I think that the astronauts who don't make it past the, like, the physical or, like, they can't hold their breath long enough or something like that. Like, those people, they're like, okay, you can be an astronaut. You get the spacesuit, but you're going to be here in mission control.
Right.
You know, translating or I don't know what they do. So.
Yeah.
So you can work your whole life to be an astronaut and then you're just, like, a pencil pusher.
You get a desk job. Yeah. Or if you go up to space and fuck up, they give you a desk job.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah. Not fuck up, you know what I mean? Like,
but
like,
I'm just curious,
aged,
like,
out or something.
Yeah, how many times are you allowed to go to space before they're like, "All right, Maggie, come on now, like, you're spaced out," or I don't know what.
I think it depends on the length of time.
I think it does a number on your body too. The longer you're up there and the more you go, I think, like, you need time to recover and stuff. I don't know. I still. It makes me so sad now that we're at this time where it's plausible that humans are going to go to space regularly. And it's just heartbreaking to, like, reconcile with my child self that, like, only these billionaires are going to get the chance to go see space, you know? And, like, I don't know.
Okay, so apparently there's only been one who's gone twice.
Oh.
This guy, Gus Grissom, was the first NASA astronaut to fly twice to space.
Interesting.
So maybe you only go once because it's so tough.
Maybe, yeah.
I think there are different lengths of time, though. Yeah. Like, you can go to space for the weekend, or you can go for, like, a year and a half with, like, the monkeys and shit.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, no. So this one also says that there is one person who's gone 5 times. Okay, maybe it's just by country, because I don't really...
I was about to say, that sounds like some Soviet Union shit.
Yeah, they don't care about you there. They're like, get back up there, you idiot!
Get your ass back in space!
Huh.
That's interesting.
Well, that was an aside, but interesting.
I don't know.
I've never thought about it.
It breaks my heart. I love space. Also, for a while, I was, like, very angry, or, like, I refused to believe in God and all this stuff, and I was like, I won't believe that space exists until I see it. But I'm not that way now, but there was a thought I had when I was, like, 12. Yeah, it's all a simulation.
Wow, you were, like, QAnon before QAnon at 12.
I was just so angry about, like, people,
prove it,
people
world.
Believing in God without seeing him, and I was like, well, fine. I'm going, I was angry.
And it is flat, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're just a conspiracy theorist at your young
12-year-old
age.
Yeah.
On that note, should we take a quick ad break?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back to come back, talk to Maggie, and find out what other QAnon beliefs Shireen held as a child.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. I can't say the things we said during the break because I will get canceled and QAnon will forcibly recruit me. I'm kidding. Maggie, let's talk about you again. So you graduate high school and you're interested in this entertainment field. Like, what do you do next? Like, what's your plan if you have one?
I went to college.
Mm-hmm. What did you study?
I just went to college. I double majored in marketing and television production. Because that was as close as I figured I could get a job in marketing. Mm-hmm. But I think what I was really thinking was advertising. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that as like a plan B also. Right. Like these were all things that I wanted to get as a plan B. So I think television production was as close to filmmaking that this school had. Mm-hmm. So
where did you go?
Houston Baptist University.
HBU. I don't know it, but that's
It's a
how far is that from where you grew up?
Maybe 5 hours. Okay, so far. Mm. But it's
what was the experience like for you?
I did not like it. Mm. I did not much enjoy it.
Just because of the material you were studying, or like other reasons?
Looking back, I think that some of the things that attracted me to the school were not as important as I thought. Like I wanted a school that had like a good double major program.
Mm-hmm.
But what good is a double? I mean, I guess I thought like, okay, two plan Bs mm-hmm. would be good. But also it's like, really, what good is it if they're not exactly what it is that you're wanting to study?
Right.
So, I mean, there's silver lining and everything. You know, I have a few friends from there that mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm glad I know you. But, I didn't enjoy it. I will not be donating to the alumni.
Oh, who does anyone actually like, do that? Like, I don't know. I hope not.
I felt so badly. They called me one day and I was just like, listen, I'm not going to bother. Like, I'm not going to sit here and keep you on the phone. I'm just not, trust me, I'm not gonna give you any money.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I just, let me talk, and I just wanted to chat about this. And she talked about all the different activities I did, and then she got to the bottom and I was like, look, I did not like your school, and if you guys cease to exist, that means nothing.
Oh,
like,
well,
I don't care. I was just like, I'm sorry, I don't have any stake in this. I don't like the school. I don't care about it. And
yeah,
you know, I'm very sorry. And she was just like, oh, well. But you could tell, like, they're like, stay on the phone with them. Like, they'll eventually give me money. And I was just like, I just would like you to not waste your time.
And also, like, who do you think you're talking to? It's not like they're calling people, like, millionaires. You know what I mean? Like, you're calling people that are, like, in relative time, like, freshly graduated. You know what I mean? They haven't had, like, too much time to accumulate the money. Money enough to have, like, disposable income to donate to some fucking place.
Yeah. They start calling so quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just left.
They left. And where'd you go? Where'd you go after?
No, I'm saying I just left HBO.
Oh, exactly.
No, I just left.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
No, I was the same way. I was like, I mean, I liked school fine, but like, I just graduated. You think I got like, I'm just sitting around on a stack of cash? Like, give me a minute to do something with my life before you start calling. But you're like so avoidant of them that they stop calling. And you're like, well, now maybe you could convince me.
Right. Yeah.
Now I actually have some cash. You could actually call now. And I might be like,
I don't know.
But you don't call anymore, so that's on you.
That's on you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I hear you, though. I don't think college was at, like... I literally chose the college. I had never seen it before, but it was the furthest from my house, and I wanted to get out of my house. And I studied just whatever to, like, just do it. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't go in with the clearest, best way to utilize that time. And I don't think I got really anything out of it other than like meeting friends and like getting out of my house for the first, like, you know what I mean, like breaking all of those things. But I wish there, I mean, who cares, here we are in present time. So you graduated college. What did you do after you graduated?
Decided that I needed another plan. And got convinced to go to pharmacy school.
Oh.
So I just started going back to college to...
Who convinced you?
My mom. Because I didn't know what else to do. Yeah. So I just started taking the prerequisites. And then it just like... It kind of very quickly became evident to me that like this is something that I'm going to have to concentrate on for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And am I really willing to... you know, put my life on hold for 3 years for a plan B when I already got two plan Bs and that's not like shaking out like I thought, you know, like what am I really doing here? And so I just decided to start, you know, acting and temping and like figuring it out from there.
Where were you at this time city-wise?
Austin.
Okay. So what was that like in Austin deciding to get into acting and stuff? Like what was the first couple of things?
Austin at the time was getting a lot of like industry attention and there were like a lot of things being filmed there. So it seemed okay. Like I had just, done some prerequisites at UT. And so it just was like simple to stay around, especially since there was like such a promise of like, you know, thing like Friday Night Lights was shooting at that time. A bunch of different movies were shooting then. Mm-hmm. I think the whole thing kind of collapsed on itself because, we kind of, you know, got priced out with the incentives that, like Michigan was offering people, and like other different, I think Louisiana was offering a bunch of different incentives too, but then also living in Austin, you're like that close to Louisiana. So it's not, you know, unfeasible to, you know, travel over there for, you know, for like an acting job or whatever.
I was just going to ask, what was your first acting job or like how did you first start?
Let's see. I took some acting classes and there was a class I took where there was like a showcase for agents.
Oh.
And so the agents will sign a bunch of people from the showcases. I think the first thing I got. Oh, wow. Okay. So the first time I got booked for something, I got booked for two things in a week.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Like the first one, it was an America's Most Wanted reenactment.
I forgot and they was did like, that.
Yeah, there was like a whole, like, it was a human interest piece because like the reason why they felt like she got separated from her family during Hurricane Katrina and somebody wrote a human interest piece for her from 17 Magazine and that was how her family got her back together. You know, they found each other from there. And then, like, a little while later, somebody killed her.
Oh.
And so they sent the picture of the girl, and I was like, I've got that outfit. And I put on the outfit, and I walked in. They were like, you're hired. And I was like, the casting director was like, you don't want her to read? And they were like, okay, whatever. And I read the line. They were like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, you're hired. And so, like, and then, like, later that week or, like, the next, yeah, like, later that week, I did some, what is this movie called? They changed it from Band Slam. Mm. It was called something else before.
Band Slam?
But then I booked that one on it also.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. Like, Vanessa Hudgens was in it.
Oh, fun. And it's shot in Austin, or where were you?
Shot in Austin, yeah. David Bowie was in it, actually. Oh, yeah.
Becca loved that movie, apparently.
Yeah, I was in the scene at the end right before David Bowie.
You were in a movie with David Bowie. That's pretty interesting. Like,
I never met him, but
no,
like,
one knows
you
that.
See me walk through,
no, yeah,
and I say my line, and then the girl smiles, and then they cut to David Bowie.
You were still in a movie with David Bowie, though. You know, like, yes, that's a factual statement.
Cool. I'll take it.
It's a factual statement.
Hold on, let me tweet that right now.
I mean, it's pretty. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wait, so when did you move to LA?
About 5 years ago.
Okay.
Anna's calculating something in her head.
No, I was trying to remember when we met, but like I said, I guess I don't remember. I guess it was right after that, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've known you for a while, but I also have no memory of anything. Mm.
Were you in Austin all the time before moving to LA? Like, did you move around after Austin?
No. I moved to Austin and stayed put there. Mm-hmm.
Did you find... Like, I assume getting 2 jobs in 1 week was like, wow, this is doable. Like, did that, like, get you going and, like, keep motivated to get more jobs? Or what was that experience like?
Yeah. Somewhat shortly after that, maybe, like, a year or so after that, I started doing comedy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the fact that I was able to... And I wouldn't call it success, but I was able to get booked and do work in the acting field. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of carried me over to, like, well, I mean, you know, people picked me to do stuff here, so I can do, like, I can be here and do comedy with y'all if I want to. Or, like, yeah. I can be here and learn if I want. Like, I guess that's fine. Like, I can be here and do improv also because, like, I guess I still have a little bit of confidence from, like, you know, not completely falling on my face in small in Texas doing acting, you know.
No, that's all you need to just the little bit of confidence goes so like a very long way. Like just a little bit of belief, you know, I underestimate how powerful that stuff is all the time.
Just the little things that like people will hold on to and like I can't yuck anyone's yum or make fun of anyone for like, you know, the things that I've heard, because there are things I'm holding on to that are really stupid, but they still give me like a, you know, a boost.
Yeah.
But like, I remember working somewhere and this girl was like really mad at someone else. And she was like, don't you call me. I won second place in a damn spelling bee in fourth grade. And it's just like, well, you know, some people and there's stuff I'm holding on to. So like, we all need something to get through. I guess.
No, totally. There's even, like,
sentences
of people, you know what I mean? Like, things that people have told me, and I'm just like, okay, I'll hold up this for the rest of my life. Belated laugh. Silly.
I was just thinking about what you're saying. It's silly.
Yeah. We should have a whole episode where we, like, admit all the things that we hold on to and just, commiserate about. There's always a point where I ramble off to myself. Like, inside thoughts need to stay. Like, especially during COVID, my inside thoughts have become outside thoughts, and I should really reel that in. I really need to get better at that. And this happened twice so far in this episode.
That's interesting because I do remember someone in college, someone who I personally don't agree with, said to me, one day your mouth is going to get you in trouble. And I always remember that because I just want to be like, yourself.
That's an intense thing. Was it, can I ask the gender of the person that said that to you?
Oh, you know they were a man.
That's just so disgustingly weird just for someone to say that. I don't know.
That's odd for a man to tell one day your mouth is going to get you into trouble.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I think about that often, and it hasn't stopped me.
Mm-hmm. Good.
good. Keep that fire going.
Yeah. I hope my mouth does get me into trouble.
Look at you now. Yeah. You use your mouth all the time. You're talking on a podcast, you know?
Yep. And I've gotten in a lot of trouble for it.
The trouble is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trouble is not real.
No.
I thought it was funny because I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Rando, we're like in college together. Who cares?
That's so stupid. That is so, but like the audacity that, or like the self-importance that someone has to even say that out loud to someone. Like, that's just like so beyond me. But I did, I mean, you know, there's a lot of comedians that came out of Austin though. So was the comedy scene like, what was that like for you? Because you stayed there for a couple of years, I'm guessing. How many years were you in Austin?
Yeah. I was in Austin for a while. I did comedy in Austin for several years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't make me do math right now.
Sorry.
I was like, what year did I start? Let's see.
Several. Several is good.
Yeah. What year did I start? 2009.
Okay, so you've been here for 5 years, so that means you've been there for, like, yeah, like, 8, maybe? I just randomly said 8. I hope that's kind of accurate.
That's close
enough.
Yeah,
great, cool. well, yeah, what was the scene like for you back then? Like, I'm assuming, I mean, like, from what I've heard from, like, comedians coming out of Austin, like, there was a moment that it was really rich and, like, great to be there as a comic, right?
I loved Austin. Like, Austin comedy was fantastic. When I was there, everyone was just working really hard. I mean, I surrounded myself with a lot of women, and mm-hmm. women just work harder. And, you know, even starting out, like, the dudes that I was friends with, we all just worked really hard. And the audiences in Austin are not like, they're not like, I don't want to say that they're not supportive, but they don't just let anything slide, mm-hmm. you know, like they're more educated. So like, if you're just gonna do a stupid punch down, they're not gonna like let you get away with that, or like they're not gonna like appreciate it if it's something that's like, you know, they just don't really, my experience from when I was there, they just were not they wouldn't really just put up with bullshit.
Right.
That just really wasn't their thing. So
yeah.
Right.
And I like that because it forces you to be smarter and it forces you to think more, and like, you know, you still make the same kind of jokes, but like have a reason to make them. But we're like,
it reminds me, I'm only saying this because your Twitter is pulled up in front of me, but it's basically your pinned tweet where it's, how am I supposed to know you're joking if you're not being funny? That's a good summary of what you're describing the audience in Austin to be like.
That's the thing. They're like, yeah, I see that you said something, but like, where was the joke in that?
Yeah.
And I like that. I don't like participation trophies.
No, of course not. What's the point? You don't know if you're actually doing well at that point, you know?
Exactly.
Then you have a false sense of, like, I don't know, achievement.
Yeah, yeah. And that's never been fun for me. Mm-hmm. Like, for the first few times I did comedy, I thought that people were laughing so that they wouldn't hurt my feelings. Mm. Like, my first time, I didn't invite anybody. I didn't want my friends there. I didn't want them laughing. I didn't want it to be like my sense of humor was like winning them over or whatever. We all share the same sense of humor. One girl I did know from improv, I asked her how to sign up. And she's like, oh, you're coming. I'll sign up that week too and I'll come watch. And I was just like, no, I don't want anyone I know there.
Yeah,
I just want to do this in silence. And some people I didn't know actually were there. Like, they were coming off of work, and so I was like mortified that, you know, they were just gonna tell me I did well and I didn't do well. It's like such a nightmare of people telling you like you did great and then you're actually really horrible. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, when were you comfortable with inviting your parents to see you do comedy? Like, when did that happen?
The first time they saw me do comedy was, I had booked some shows around my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So I was coming for that and was just like, well, you guys should come to, you know, one of the shows. Mm-hmm. And, it was a run of shows. It was like 3 different venues. The first one was, it was like a biker bar. Mm-hmm. Then the second one was a bar in my hometown that's affectionately referred to as Stab Daddies.
Oh.
Or Crack Daddies. Like, it's just not the best. There was a mouse that ran out of the venue as we were walking, and it was not cool. Then the I think the last night, either the first night or the last, one of the two was at some nice theater. And my dad went and saw me there. And it's like, okay, that was that was better than this bar yeah. that, you know, that people have been stabbed at, I'm hearing, or I'm finding out.
What did they say? What was, yeah.
They liked it. Like, the bar night was not that great, but, they went and saw, I think my brothers had seen me at the theater and they had a really good time. And then there was like another venue 3 hours past that my dad went to, and that one went really well. And it went like so well that like during the show, he called my mom, who was at like work at the time. And he like had it up a little bit so he could like she could hear.
Oh, that's like, nice.
But it was going well. And the crowd was responding well to it.
That's so sweet.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's yeah. so sweet. Let's take our second break before we forget. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And we're back with Maggie.
Maggie, do you got, does that how you say it? Did I flinch?
Maggie.
Beautiful name, Maggie.
Just joking. Sorry. Maggie Mae. We're here with Maggie. We were just talking about your dad seeing you do stand-up for the first time. When did you learn about your own father's stand-up dreams?
I think it was when I had been doing stand-up for a while.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of... Well, not a while, maybe like a couple of years. And we were just kind of chatting and, you know, he's like making conversation. And I was just like, oh, man, like, I never knew that. And I thought if there's any way I can make him get on stage, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy the things our parents will like hold on to that is like pretty significant to them, you know, but they're
yeah.
they just withhold yeah. every kind of tidbit of their lives until. Yeah. Yeah.
But then it's like. It kind of, like, the older you get, the more you're like, oh, yeah, well, I sure did want to be an astronaut for a while.
Yeah.
I guess not. Like, I guess it's not, you know, but if I had a kid, I'm sure they'd be like, well, if there's a way to get you and Lance Bass up in space, I'm going to do that for my mother.
But, yeah.
Bass, man.
Oh, yeah, Lance Bass. That's, I forget
I
that
he ever went.
Wait, I thought he did. I thought that was.
He went.
He did go?
Yeah. He went to space.
Yeah, he went.
Yeah.
They let him go up for like a space weekend or something.
God, I wish.
A space weekend.
Yeah.
What a fucking
a weekend.
Brat. I want to do that. Not a brat. You know what I mean? Just lucky.
So he was smart. He came into NSYNC talking about how he wanted to go to space.
Wait,
like,
really?
That's all he was talking about. I remember reading Tiger Beats and stuff like that. And he was always like, I want to go to space. I want to go to space.
He really set
and
it
it's
up.
Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. He was like, I'm here to fucking go to space and sing Tearing Up My Heart. And I already sang Tearing Up My Heart. So let's make it so that I can get
wow,
to space.
Really belong
I didn't know
it.
That.
But, me either. Yeah. It's yeah. impressive.
I thought that was a later in life ambition, but that's great. Good for him.
Yeah. He was always into
Note
it.
Note to self. Next time, start off with that. Anything I do.
Right. Any interview yeah. I do. And I love candy. I would love to go to space at some
uh-huh.
point.
Period. Yeah, period. So why When and why did you decide to eventually move to LA 5 years ago?
I just kind of, I think that at a certain point depending on what you want to do, at a certain point you hit a point where it's like, I've done everything here that I can do to do what I want to do.
Right.
Like if I wanted to do anything, you know, further beyond this, I would have to leave. And, you know, I would have talks with people, or like I had a Skype call with someone who wanted to hire me for something. And he was just like, I mean, where do you live? I was like, Austin. And this is somebody who had like contacted me. Mm. And they were like, I mean, you just don't know how long that this thing is going to take. So it's a situation of like, I mean, can you, you know, live on a couch for one of your friends for an indeterminate amount of time? Can you just be away from your stuff in Austin for, you know, a month's time when we're shooting or whatever? And it's like, when you really think about it this way or that way, and you really think, okay, this is what I want to do, then this is not going to happen unless I'm somewhere where I can do this, mm-hmm. you know, easily, or where I can like, you know, I can pick up and go and do this thing tomorrow if I need to, you know, I can pick up and go and walk onto a set. I can be there in an hour, you know, like versus if you're in Austin, really what's the likelihood someone's going to be like, okay, now let's fly you over for an audition. Let's fly you over for this. It's really not going to happen. So,
yeah.
Or it would be much more difficult for that kind of thing to happen. It would be way more difficult. And I love Austin, but like, I don't think there's anything tying me to any place, you know?
No, it's good.
Like I could move wherever and be fine. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
There are places I wouldn't want to live, but, you know.
No, totally.
Push came to shove, I figure it out.
I think that's good to be able to just pick
like
up
where?
And go.
Where don't you want to live? Name names.
You know.
Where do you want to live? Who are you coming for when you say that?
I mean, not to name any names, but, you know, people rhyme with the Schmentucky. Alabama.
Okay.
You know, just all those states where like where all the news of the weird come
right.
from.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
you know, where they have blank Florida. Not really.
Yeah. Florida.
Certain, you know, the places in Florida where there can be like just a alligator walking around and people don't flinch.
Yeah.
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 There. I don't want to.
No, live
there.
Yeah, hard pass.
That's too wild for me.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I can be wild, but that's way too damn wild. If you're not flinching at an alligator,
that's a
I don't have time. I can't be shot here. So
that okay, those are good. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good criteria. What did you think of LA when you first got here?
You know, I liked it because I had low expectations. Mm-hmm. Very, very low expectations. I was like, not only is nothing comedy related that I do prior to this gonna matter, I'm just gonna have to go back and like reinvent myself here, and like, and everyone's gonna hate me too. Everyone's gonna actively hate me and like do, you know, carry stuff, be pouring blood on me and shit at open mic. Everyone's gonna hate me. It's not gonna go well. But I'm just gonna try my damnedest, and we'll take it from there. But like, it wasn't as bad as I had set up in my head, or it wasn't as like daunting and formidable as I had set up in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, okay, it's going to take me, you know, maybe years to get on a show, or it'll take me months to get on a show. And I was able to get on, you know, plan ahead, of course.
Right.
Using the send out stuff ahead of time before you get there, and like try to coordinate it with, you know, whatever. But it wasn't nearly as difficult as I had led myself to believe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, LA's an interesting place. There's so much like lore to it, especially when it comes to stand-up. People will be like, don't start in LA because if an agent sees you when you're bad, it'll ruin your career. And then there's like, you should start in New York because there's so much stage time, or you should do this because of that, or you know why you should start here because of this. And it's like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
just start. Like,
yeah,
there's people out here doing well from everywhere, so like, I mean, everyone figures it out.
Yeah, and also, like, guess what? No agent's really going to remember you. They're all pieces of shit.
And guess what? No agent is going to an open mic to watch you do your, you know, 3 minutes a time. Like, not showing up just to scout like that.
No, they don't really scout like that in my... I mean, they go to, like, shows, but they're not going to, like, open mics, you know?
Right. They're not going to somebody's backyard in North Hollywood to go see if there's any hot new talent.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they will every once in a while, but it's not very likely.
Mm. Yeah.
They're busy.
Yeah.
That's just the... I think that's the kind of thing people think when they don't really, like, if you don't know how things, like, really work, anything is possible.
Right.
Oh, like, even when I was, like, in Austin doing, like, little commercials and stuff like that, you would hear people say, like, oh, well, you just never know. And, you know, you hear extras, other extras talking, oh, you never know. Like, you could just be, like, someone's watching this commercial and be like, I need that person right there. And it's like, really? Like, you haven't done anything in the commercial. Someone's going to pick you out of a damn crowd and be like, they're the one who need to, like, run my movie. Right. You don't even know if this person talks like Elmo, but I need that person right there. But that's what everybody thinks, because they just, you know, you get a little idea into your head that something could be possible.
Right.
And if you don't know that, you know, the actual logistics that make it impossible, you're like, yeah,
like,
of course,
going to space.
This worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. One of these weekends, I think I could probably just do it.
Exactly. Yeah. What moment, because you've been on a bunch of stuff. You've been on Conan O'Brien. You were on Comedy Central. You've been on a bunch of things. Was there a moment when you were like, I don't know, you felt really like that little thing where you're like, the things you hold on to. Was there a moment like that for you?
The moments like that for me came like way earlier. For like, as good as those moments were, that like, for sure I do hang on to, like, you know, when you're starting off and you get your first little headlining gig at a little someplace,
right,
and it's just like, it's your peers, and these are like the people who do comedy with you, and like the people who are like, and now somebody wants to like give you money to do the stuff that you are still having fun doing for free, and they want you to do a whole bunch, like those little tiny little
nuggets,
you know, milestones and nuggets, like really got me through like a lot.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's definitely, the smaller things are definitely the things that are a little bit, sometimes more special, you know? Yeah.
Right. Cause you need those smaller things to make it onto the bigger, you know, like
to give you the confidence to continue to try. Right.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Like if I had never gotten the confidence from, you know, killing it at this hotel in Killeen, that was a horrible room, but like, they responded really well for me. But I didn't have that confidence, then I wouldn't have been full on myself to try this one thing, which, you know, ended up okay, or this one thing that ended up horribly. But
right,
I was still feeling myself from this other thing that I didn't really let it shake me and continue to do stuff when I maybe, you know, should have reevaluated. I don't know.
Yeah. Life is, I was about to say never ending. No.
I was going to say a box of chocolates.
No. I don't know. Things are just so... Life is
weird.
Life is
weird.
Life is waiting for you.
Oh.
It's so messed up that we'll survive.
Yeah. I mean, if you moved here 5 years ago, that means, like, almost half of your time here has been pandemic time. Like, maybe, like, a little less than half. So you got about, like, 2 years of non-pandemic comedy, and you got what's that been like for you?
It was really weird, because like the first me, I stay pretty busy, and I like to stay busy, and I liked to double book myself, you know, on nights, and I liked to just like always be running around. Like that's how I like it, you know. And so I went from keeping myself really busy before the pandemic and like just always, and that's just kind of how I always was with comedy. I never took a week off. I never took like more than a few days off. Like I just was always like doing, it's just compulsion. I just like, you stay busy and you just, it's fun. That's how I run. And so like, I remember the first like week and I was just like, so I'm just not going to do like, and so like during the pandemic, I loaded up so many Zoom shows. People were out here talking shit about Zoom shows or whatever, but I was like, I live alone. I need to be able to, like,
yeah.
Like, I'm still obsessed. This is like methadone, but it's still fine. Like, yeah. I need to be able to, like,
connect.
I need
on
to be able
level.
To do this. Yeah.
Maggie, you can tell me to fuck off and not answer this question. But what do you, like, hope to do next? Like, what is your, like, dream sort of gig or role? Or, like, tell me about that.
I want to write on something that I can also act in. Mm-hmm. That's, like, that would be the best for me.
Yeah. That sounds like the ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great. I could see you having your own show.
That would be tight. That would be tight.
Yeah.
Or, like, writing on someone's show and they let me be a cashier or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds awesome. You know,
recurring cashier.
That would be awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Also, actually, I have another question for you. When was, like, so with your parents, I mean, like, seeing that your parents are, like, down to come to your shows and stuff, was there any a point, like, in your career that they, like, kind of realized you had, like, made it or, like, had done something in stand-up or, like, were actually, like, on a good path?
The time I can think of was whenever I called my mom to tell her about Conan and she was gonna, like, set her DVR for it.
Aww. Yeah.
And so she's setting her DVR and she's like, okay, I think I found it. She says, okay, Kevin Bacon, John C. Nuno, and Maggie May! She screamed my name. Like, just hearing her scream my name, I was just like, oh, this is like, she's super excited about something I'm super excited
yeah.
about. So
oh, that's awesome. So
I like
sweet.
The setting of the DVR.
Yeah.
That is so sweet.
I can't watch live now, so don't get.
Oh, no, she wanted to have it on
okay,
DVR
good.
So that, like, when her friends came over,
yeah,
she could be
show
like,
everybody.
Oh, did you see? Just in case you missed
just
it.
Just in case my daughter is on TV. If you haven't heard, do you want to see it one more time? Yeah. No.
Right. Yeah. For Thanksgiving, exactly. We can all get back together and watch it again.
That's so sweet, though. I
yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
That's really cute. That would be a moment, I would imagine. That, like, obviously, you remember it so clearly, so it's like. Yeah, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Your parents are so cute.
They are.
Yeah.
Whenever your dad does comedy in LA again, you gotta let us know because I wanna see.
I will. I will. I want him to come back as soon as things are like good and safe.
Yeah.
I
are
want
they still
him
in
to
Texas?
Back out into, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess because they had just flown out. Did they happen to be there that weekend that you did
yeah.
Underbelly?
Well,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Stars aligned. You know?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Stars aligned. We'll have to get your father back on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess this is
oh,
like
yeah.
more of a beginning of the interview question, but I'm just curious now, why did your parents choose to immigrate to Texas in particular? Or were they jumping around a bunch and then they landed in Texas or like?
We ended up in Texas. Mm. Yeah.
For just like work jobs. Reasons and jobs and stuff or?
Yeah. South Texas, my dad did a residency down there, but he liked it because it was like, climate close to,
mm-hmm.
you
similar.
Know, close to, right. And then, like, there was, he's an OB-GYN. And
that's right. I was going to say, was
surgeon.
He a surgeon? Yeah,
well,
yeah, I remember him saying that.
Yeah, badass. And he's funny. Like,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah. So there was, like, in the 90s when we were, around the time when we were, like, coming back there, there was, like, the brainless baby phenomena happening with, like, a long story short, it's like amoebas were eating babies' brains.
Oh my God!
Out of the womb, but the water was so polluted
oh.
in like the Rio Grande was horrible, and
oh God, was
there
like,
were
what?
Certain amoebas there.
Oh my God!
That if you drank out of that water, like directly out of it, then it was
oh
it
shit.
Could eat.
Do
the,
people know about
the
this?
Baby's brain.
Are we dumb? I
yeah,
I have no idea.
I guess like a thing.
Are we about to Aaron
well,
Brockovich
I mean,
this shit? That's
wow.
wild.
I guess I heard more about it because, like, I grew up around
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, yeah, shoot, this is really
I mean,
happening.
When you said brainless and baby, that phrase sounded a little familiar, but I don't know if it's because it's like a, what's it called? The letter
it sounded like a Grey's Anatomy episode where they're like, this baby has no brain. And you're like,
right,
ah!
right.
That's, I mean, like, when you really think
got
about it.
Got a lot of house qualities
yeah.
to it.
It's very
yes,
devastating.
Yes.
That's very devastating when you.
That
it's scary,
wild.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
interesting. Let's pivot really quick to just end on a different note.
You know, and babies. Terrifying disorder.
Well, what are you, so I'm guessing now the, I don't know, we're still in a pandemic, but where people are going out more, there are comedy shows happening. Are there, is there anything coming up that we should like keep an eye on? Should we follow you for updates? Like what's your comedy life like now?
Oh yeah. Follow me for some updates. I've got some shows coming up. I'm trying to, cause I'm on immunosuppressive, so I'm trying to just stay to like,
yes, I understand,
you know, ones that are pretty good about getting vaxxed. But June 16th, I'm going to be doing this this show in Mill Valley. It's like an outdoor celebration, and they're doing comedy. So
June 16th in Mill Valley?
Mill Valley. It's an outdoor show, which I'm very grateful for.
Awesome.
Especially at these times when you never really know about indoor venues. So like,
right.
We don't know anything anymore.
No, nothing.
Sometimes they're like, "That's cool," and other times they're like, "Numbers are going up."
Yeah,
you're like, "Yeah." I'm sorry, what?
The numbers are always going up, yeah. And like, I keep hearing about people I know who are like, yeah. "I am triple poked and or triple vaccinated, and I caught COVID,
yep,
and
yeah.
It kind of sucked." And like, wow, like catching COVID is one thing, but like catching COVID and it kind of sucked, and you've had three vaccinations, like,
it's scary.
I'm hearing too much of that.
Yeah. It's I'm pretty mad at people that are just operating as business per usual, because like we will never have what we had in before this,
right?
You know, like our life
era,
it's forever changed.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've said this on the, I've probably mentioned this idea on the podcast, but I feel like there are certain things that have happened that have like only certain generations will remember. Like for example,
right.
I think our generation will be the last one to remember what dial-up was like, to remember what it was before the internet really like exploded.
Yeah.
After we die, no one will remember that.
Yeah.
And I also think that there's going to be a generation that won't remember life before COVID. And that is crazy when you really think about it. You know, it's like life altering is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That's another episode for a different philosophical debate or whatever. This was so fun to talk to you. I'm so glad you were on the show. Thanks for coming
Thank you. I had a great time.
Good.
Yes, thank you for coming on. I'm glad we could finally have you on.
Yeah.
We finally got a print of your laugh on our show.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
On a loop, you know?
Yeah.
There it is.
Just the background is just Maggie laughing at all our jokes. We're like, yes, oh yes.
God.
Look, we're hilarious.
Yeah. When we're solo, we just have the laugh track like on a button,
yeah.
You know, just to be give us some boost.
I love
you were awesome. You have to come back on
for sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
The stars align again, and I can't wait to see your dad do comedies.
Yes, you'll love it.
Do you want to plug your socials and stuff before we completely go and tell everyone where to find you?
Yeah, I'm on all of the different social media things on at Maggie May, haha. Maggie is spelled like Simpsons Maggie. May is spelled M-A-Y-E, and haha is spelled like haha is spelled.
Makes sense.
Ha.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Just like normal
you said,
style.
Maggie like Simpsons. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know, I never watched The Simpsons, so I wouldn't know what that spelling was. So it's M-A-G-G-I-E, just for the record, people out there that also lived under a rock like I did.
But a classic
Maje.
Maje.
But no, thank you so much. And excited to talk to you soon and see your dad do comedy and all the good stuff. Everyone follow Maggie, please. I'm sure you fell in love with her because she's the best. Any last words before I wrap us out of here? No? Okay.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great last word.
Perfect.
Yabba dabba doo. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hostan on Twitter.
And until next time, follow Maggie and try to go to space. You know, simple stuff. Yeah.
We'll be right back. Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.